This is Fresh Air. We're asking some of our critics to look back on the year 1991. David Bianculli spent much of the year, as he usually does, sitting in front of his TV, or should I say his TVs. Let's see if our TV critic thought it was a good year for television.
It was a good year on TV for nonfiction, for real news, and it was a lousy year on TV for fiction. I mean, creatively, this is the most depressing TV year, I think, in a decade, and not this decade either.
And you're pretty charitable, usually.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm surprised you still let me in after all these years. But it's just I was very disappointed by the mid-season because there wasn't anything creatively that was good there, and there wasn't anything in the fall season. So we went a whole year without anything good. But you look at the real news. You look at the air war, the ground war, the Russian Revolution, the Clarence Thomas hearings, the William Kennedy Smith. I mean, that's almost a top 10 of television right there, and some of those were very significant and riveting, and others were somewhat less significant but still riveting.
Do you think that's changed the way we use TV this year?
Well, we always use TV like that when items like that come up, but it just seemed like so many of them came up. That's an average of one every 2 months, and some of them really drove home how important TV is and how important it can be. And it was, you know, I mean, for me, you know, writing on Deadline and writing different stuff on each edition at the start of the ground war was a real challenge and a real thrill. I mean, it was also very scary. And, you know, the night that we thought that everybody was making mistakes and that was going to be the end of it, thanks to the bombing of Israel.
Yeah, I agree that some of the most gripping TV has been coverage of real events, but this is happening simultaneous with budget cutbacks in the news departments at all the networks. But I think the networks are realizing that this is where it's at in terms of what's interesting now and what people are turning to TV for. So do you know what's happening behind the scenes?
Well,
I
still don't think they've made the right decisions. They're still cutting back in areas where they shouldn't. They're still cutting a little bit too deep. They're cutting on the things that don't show up on the air, figuring that they aren't important. They're cutting back on researchers. They're cutting back on depth of crewmen. They're cutting back on bureaus and bureau chiefs and reporters around the world. So when something happens, not only do they not know enough about what it is, they can't get the information quickly enough, and they don't have anybody in place that can do anything more than just drop in and do superficial stuff. I mean, that's not true in every city around the world, but it's true enough that we don't know the coverage we're not getting, except that you can just sort of sense that what we're getting is not as good as what we could get in most circumstances.
Well, although you think it's been a pretty shabby year for fiction TV, what are some of the new series, if any, that you've enjoyed?
This season, the ones that came around in the fall starting in September, there's I'll Fly Away, which is the examination of the civil rights era, and Sam Waterston is just such a good actor, and they're actually, it's a very good cast, and that one works out okay for me, even though it's not one of these that I have to watch every week, which is how I gauge whether a show is a favorite of mine. Brooklyn Bridge is on the border. That's another period show, but that's about growing up in Brooklyn in the 50s. And that, again, is a show that if I'm watching television and it's on, I will gladly and gratefully watch it, but I will not go out of my way to seek it just yet. And Rock, which I was excited about at the beginning of the season, that's a Fox show, has been kind of uneven lately, so I don't know how that's going to end up its season. But that's a pretty paltry list. And a lot of my favorites from last year, I mean, are all just down the TV tube, so to speak. I mean, 30-something and China Beach and Twin Peaks and Equal Justice and even The Flash, which I liked.
So you think this
Aren't you glad to be associated with me? Even The Flash.
So you think this is a year more notable for good programs taken off the air than for good programs newly arriving on the air?
Yeah. No, I mean, the talk last year was, you know, Twin Peaks was going to change television because it was different and people were in search of different. The networks finally decided that not enough people were in search of different, so they would go back to same. But there aren't enough people watching the same, so now the networks don't know what to do at all. I mean, they tried bringing back all the old people from all the old series and all the old formats. The most maddening thing about TV this year is that you might as well be watching 70s television. I mean, so P.S. I Love You, if you look at that, I would defy you to tell me what decade we're in. You know, it's an amazing, timeless sort of bad heart-to-heart Charlie's Angels kind of series.
The giveaway would be that they weren't wearing those big sideburns.
Yeah, I guess no leisure suits. Yeah.
Well, what about on cable? Anything interesting happening on cable this year?
The most interesting things are happening on cable. I mean, the networks almost by default are allowing them to do that. But here again, you've got Dream On, mm-hmm. which is a very, I like that show an awful lot. It was basically using old clips from 50s TV and interspersing them in a regular kind of situation comedy format. There was Sessions, the Billy Crystal comedy starring Michael McKean, which took a rather adult look at psychoanalysis and was pretty funny and sometimes very insightful. And then Tales from the Crypt, which, to praise it, all I have to say is that it's everything that the EC comic book was in the 50s. It's full of bad puns. Now, I don't know why you would think that that would appeal to me. But, you know, I mean, grisly visual humor and some good frights, some good laughs. It's perfect.
I want to put in a word for In Living Color, which I think is inconsistent, but is often mm-hmm. so good. Do you get to watch that?
Yes. No, I watch that a lot. I like In Living Color so much because it reminds me of a high school performing arts group with an awful lot of talent. I mean, that's what I think is uneven about it. Sometimes the skits don't work, but whether they work or not, you always see them enjoying the acting, and yet sometimes you get that shockwave of recognition from the studio audience and when you're watching at home, it's seeing something there that you haven't seen anywhere else. I mean, I was amazed, you know, with the men on film
mm-hmm.
and the snaps up. I mean, that to me was very, very funny from the very beginning when it could have been offensive to a lot of groups, but it was just so well delineated. But I had no idea how true it was until like 2 years later on POV, on PBS,
Tongues
Untied, there were all these gay black guys talking about snaps and showing different kinds of snaps. And I was like stunned to realize that I was just this, you know, middle-aged white guy that had no idea that there was a full basis of reality. But it gives you a lot of trust for that show.
Middle-aged straight white guy.
Yeah.
And if you're just joining us, my guest is TV critic David Bianculli. We're running down the year in television, a year that David is not wildly enthusiastic about. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. TV critic David Bianculli is with us to review the year in television. You know what I think this has really been the year of? The infomercial.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Sunday morning, Saturday morning, they're just all...
Sunday night.
And
even dead people. I mean, Michael Landon is
yes.
still selling.
I find that so offensive, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, not that...
I found it offensive when he was alive.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Landon teaching me math, I don't mean to speak ill of Michael Landon, but I've met the guy and I did not think of him as any sort of a mathematics scholar. He's selling Be Very Smart at Math and Here's a Way That You Can Remember. And I would rather watch Jaime Escalante on public television, who teaches little tricks like that. I mean, my children and I can now multiply almost any number by 11 in our heads very easily, but it doesn't just come up often in conversation.
Do you know why so many of the network affiliates are selling their time to infomercials? It seems to me that this year there was really a big increase in the number of infomercials on network affiliate stations where I live in mm-hmm. Philadelphia, and they might call up and say that's not true, but that's the way it's appeared to me.
It really has grown geometrically, and they're on in late nighttime slots and early morning time slots, so they're on in periods where the audience build is not important at all. I mean, they're not worried about keeping an audience, you know, past an infomercial.
What's in it for the network affiliates or for any station?
Free money, right off. I mean, they don't have to worry about selling, you know, they don't have to, in this economy, they know it's money coming in. You know, it's not barter, it's no problem, it's just there, it's over the transom.
Because the infomercial producers buy the whole half hour.
Right.
Public TV. Anything interesting happening? Interesting happen this year on public TV?
Well, public television spent the whole year trying to do the Civil War again. You know, trying to find another Civil War, another big hit. They stripped a lot of shows across the board. They pumped a lot of energy and a lot of publicity, a lot of promotion into a lot of shows that were not as good. But on the other hand, it also did some of the best television of the year. Any public television series with American in the title is worth watching. I mean, American Experience, the documentaries they've been doing this year are incredible. And American Playhouse, most of the things that they've done this year are excellent. American Experience, Frontline, Frontline did like 5 or 6 or 7 documentaries in a row that were so good that I had to review them as my major day story in the New York Post. And, I would come back and say, this is what I want to write about for tomorrow. And it almost got to be like, oh, not Frontline again, not American Experience again. But they were so far above anything else that was being offered, it was no contest.
Well, let's look ahead to 1992. Anything you're looking forward to?
Nothing yet. What I'm looking forward to is a better year for me. But as I flip my little calendar, here's a nice little oral aid. You can hear me flip the calendar to 91 or 92. There's nothing really exciting coming up. At least that they've unless a show called Tequila and Bonetti sounds groundbreaking to you. It's better than the original title, which was Tequila and Boner. I think it was about a cop and his dog, and they changed it to a cop and an Italian. I don't even have the urge to really be up on some of these things anymore. But I'll find, they'll get to me sooner or later. But no, it's not a... I assume that if they learn the lessons that in 91 that nothing good happened dramatically, that maybe they'll do something better in 92 and hope that there's this sort of a pendulum. But the networks are losing more and more money, and we may not even have all 4 networks by the time we get to the end of 92.
You've been talking about how interesting nonfiction TV was this mm-hmm. year. Do you have any idea what the networks plan on doing in terms of their campaign coverage of the presidential campaign?
Yeah, I think they're going to do some things a little bit differently. You're going to see on newscasts them, rather than just taking straight news feeds or photo opportunities, they're going to take them and show them because, of course, that's their business. But they're also going to allow their specialists and reporters to analyze them and to talk about how the people are trying to manipulate the media and in so pointing them out, hopefully having them fail in that attempt. That's one thing. Another thing is that you're going to see, I think, a very strong focus on analyzing paid political advertisements as they come out, so that they will also be considered newsworthy. But on news programs, they'll show portions of the advertisements, and then they'll talk about the claims that aren't really true, or they'll get other people on to refute them and sort of insert a checks and balances kind of thing to the whole system. I think that's great. I don't think they've solved the debate idea yet, though.
Why not?
It's still way too structured. Don Hewitt of 60 Minutes had an idea a couple years ago to just throw a Democratic team and a Republican team in a room and let them have at it, so that if one person said something, another person could say, well, no, that's not true, and then come up and just do it almost, like a real solid debate rather than, tiny little mini filibusters.
So you're suggesting the TV news reporters are going to be standing back and analyzing more and not just accepting photo opportunities. Do you think that they feel that they've been used?
Oh, sure. Well, they better feel. I mean, I hope that they're intelligent enough to know that they've been used. I mean, but I think that what's happening now is that they are giving the audience credit enough to know that they are being used, that the politicians are trying to use them. And if they take it one more step and do stories about, here is how they are trying to use us, It sounds confusing, but it's really quite clever and clear, and I think that intelligent viewers will appreciate that sort of commentary and analysis.
Well, David, I hope you have a very good year.
Oh, I'm gonna. Mine's gonna be a good one. The TV is bad. I don't have to watch it as much.
Fun to have you here today. Thanks for coming. David Bianculli is TV critic for Fresh Air and the New York Post. This is Fresh Air.